Welcome to the Divorce Comeback Coach Podcast. I'm your host, Heidi B., certified and trauma-informed divorce coach, professional planner, and go-to gal for navigating the next steps of your divorce journey. I'm so happy you've tuned in for the tools, topics, and truth talk to start transforming your life today. I truly believe that there are no setbacks in life, only set-ups for epic comebacks. So without further delay, let's continue creating your comeback today. Hey, hey, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. My guest today is the incredible Elisa Fucci. Elisa Fucci is a renowned motivational speaker, podcast host of the Elisa Fucci Show, and an internationally acclaimed best-selling author. She is also a skilled relationship life coach and a certified breathwork detox facilitator. She specializes in empowering women to break free from recurring painful relationship patterns, facilitating heart healing, and teaching effective communication skills. Additionally, she offers practical strategies to rebuild connection and nurture relationship resilience. Welcome to the show, Elisa.
Hello, Heidi. How are you doing?
I'm so excited to be here. I'm so excited to share your story today. You have one that hasn't really kind of been shared on the show. And today we're going to dive into this amazing topic, the surprising potential of divorce and how it can save and transform relationships. This is really, really important. And I think once people understand your backstory and what makes you passionate about the work that you do, that it's all just going to click. So why don't we start there and maybe share a little bit of your backstory and why this topic is important to you?
Oh my gosh, yes, yes. It's been a story, right? And let me tell you guys, you think like, oh, divorce is like the end, right? But I'm going to share with you guys how divorce actually is the beginning of something amazing. I'll tell you a little bit about myself and how I, being a relationship life coach today and breathwork facilitator, I got married when I was 19. Because I got pregnant out of wedlock. And I wanted to make the best out of the situation. So I was like, well, I am either placing this kid for adoption or we get married. And he's like, let's get married. So imagine that scenario.
At 19.
I was a kid, raising a kid. And starting a relationship with someone that was completely opposite from me, completely. Mm. Like, I am fire, he is water. Really, we're complete opposites. And, well, leave it to Elisa to want to make the best out of things and go the hard route. So I did. And for 11 years, I did therapy. And we did marriage counseling and we did all these different modalities, like to try to make the relationship work. And although we went through a lot of hardships during those 11 years, we continue to stay together because I'm very religious. So for me, divorce wasn't an option. So I wanted to make it work no matter what. Yeah. And I know a lot of your listeners are going to relate to that, where if you're very religious, it's hard to quit on the marriage. And sometimes that's a good thing and sometimes that's a not.
Yes.
So for 11 years, we did this dance of back and forth of power struggles. Come over my way. No, you come over my way. No, you do things my way. Why aren't you doing things my way? And not meeting each other's needs. And if we did, it was temporarily. And then we would just start resenting each other. Does this sound familiar to you guys? Anyone?
Uh-huh. Yep.
So after 11 years, I was like, I gave him the ultimatum. Again, a lot of our listeners right now are going to understand this and have done this before. You either go to therapy or we're done.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Right? The ultimatum. Yep.
I was like, I'm doing all the work. Can you relate? I've done all the work. I've done all the healing and you have done nothing. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I don't have anything wrong. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm happy. There's nothing wrong in the relationship. I'm sure you guys can are like, yes, 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 Elisa, you are resonating with me.
For sure.
I've been there. I've been there. So I was like, well, it's your bad. If you don't see it, these are the options. So I filed for divorce in 2014. I finalized a year later. And during those 3 years, for the first 3 years, I was divorced. The reason why I say divorce is a surprise, and it can help you in so many aspects and bring in a new beginning, is because I had never thought of myself.
Mm.
I grew up in a family of eight, and I was the seventh. So my wow. parents were very involved with the first four kids, and the last four, they're like, we're done. So yeah. I raised myself the first few years. My siblings raised me, and then I was raised on my own. So I didn't have an identity. My mom raised me to get married and have kids.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's all I knew. So it was obvious that I was going to fall into that pattern and get married, have kids, and that's all I knew. So when I was divorced, I was forced to find myself.
Yes.
I was forced to, I had a faith crisis. I had an identity crisis. So this divorce can be so empowering if, like we were talking before we started this conversation, the podcast, it's if we choose to look at it.
Yes.
I was exhausted. I was burnt out because I was both a mom and a dad because he was out of state. And I was a full provider for the children. I had three jobs. And on top of that, I was having an identity and faith crisis. It was overwhelming. It can be so debilitating. I was having panic attacks every month. Mm. I was medicated for depression and anxiety. I was severely depressed, sick every other week because my nervous system was on high.
Yes.
So if you can relate to what I went through, wait, keep listening, because there is hope. There is hope. This was not too long ago. And what really transformed those 3 years that I was divorced was choosing to really think about myself, really put myself first and find myself a support system, really have my own back. And I gave myself permission to do whatever the heck I wanted. I didn't want to get dressed. Fine. I didn't want to brush my teeth. Fine. Because, you know, when you're married, you create this identity based on your spouse.
Yes.
You lose yourself to try to please your spouse, to make him happy, to their expectations. So while I was divorced, I was like, I don't have anyone to please. So I'm going to please myself. I don't want to do this. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to even go out alone. I'll do it.
Even I love this so much, because even if you're not like thinking that you're doing it, like this morphing happens in relationships unconsciously, right? Like even if you're not trying to do it to people please or to make that person happy, I know I find myself having to check myself in my current relationship because I did that to myself in my marriage. And I don't want to fall into that trap again where I just become a significant other and I just adjust to, oh, what are we doing? If we're not busy, then I can do something for myself. It's like, no, what do I actually want for myself? And if I want that, you know, it's really important to check ourselves. So I love the permissioning. That's a huge word that I use in my coaching, the permissioning to do whatever you wanted for probably the first time in your life or in a really, really long time.
Yes. Yes. It was liberating, scary as heck.
Yes.
It was really scary, but it allowed me to drop everything. And how I like to picture is we as women, especially people pleasers and really overachievers
yes.
and really strong women, we like to fill our hands up with so many things to do, right? Imagine you're holding so many things, your beliefs, your family, your business, your career, everything, right? You hold on to so much and people's problems. You hold on to so much. Imagine you're holding it all in your arms. What I was able to do because I was forced through getting divorced, I just gave myself permission to drop everything.
Wow.
I just dropped everything.
Yep.
And I slowly picked up one thing at a time.
Yes.
And I was like, do I really want this in my life? Do I want it now? Is it going to help me? Is this going to help me improve my life and live my values? If no, okay, I'm going to leave it there. Not forever, but just for now. And I went from being super religious, like strictly religious growing up, to not doing anything other than what I wanted. And slowly through the years, I gave myself permission without judging myself to bring back what I really wanted and not what my parents had taught me. That's just one example with my faith. In my relationship with myself, I had never known what I wanted and what I didn't want it. So I started trying things that I had never tried because I was so always afraid of doing things because of my parents' like beliefs. So I gave myself permission and I allowed myself to bring one thing at a time. And before I brought it into my world, I asked myself, does it align with who I am and my values? Does it bring value into my life?
Yes.
If the answer was no, then leave it behind. Does it make me feel guilty? Does it make me feel good? Which one? If it made me feel yuck about myself, I knew it wasn't aligned with me.
Yeah.
But it didn't mean that that was forever. Because, you know, we evolve and we could recheck later on.
What you're describing, I don't know why this is coming up, but it reminds me of like, have you ever heard of an elimination diet? Where a lot of people with autoimmune disease, for a reason, are encouraged to eliminate a lot of things from their diet. So they've been doing their diet for a specific way for a long time, or not even specific, or just kind of maybe even willy-nilly. And just like, I can have anything that I want. And then the doctor's like, something in here is not making you feel like you, right? Maybe you're having a disease or whatever it is. And so they eliminate a bunch of things. And then slowly you do that checkpoint that you're talking about and you add something back in. Okay. Does this feel good for me? Okay, good. I'm going to keep going with that. And I'm going to add in something else. Does this feel good? And it's kind of this curious, explorative experience that you're describing that just made me think of that kind of experience in relation to kind of like a diet.
Yep. Exactly. And I can relate, right? When we're like, something gave me allergies. And like, oh my gosh, out of everything that I ate yesterday, what could it been? So you have to like start testing out. I've been going through that. I think it's because I'm getting older. So now I'm like, shoot, I can just eat everything. So I can totally relate to that example.
Yes. So you go through this process. Actually, before we even move on from there, can you maybe explain, help us understand, because I remember being in this point, what made you get fiercely committed to saying yes to the change? Where was there a point for you? And maybe there wasn't for you. There just was for me, where all of a sudden I was like, enough already. I'm going to do something different. I'm going to get my life back. Like, did you ever have a moment or moments like that where it was like, what made you go on this different trajectory to start exploring these parts of you?
It was a breaking point where I was not able to do anything. The most important things I needed to do, I was not able to accomplish them. And yet I felt exhausted. And yet I felt like I was doing everything and anything. So I remember going to therapy and I remember, and she's like, well, it's because you're leaking. you have leaks. You have cracks in your foundation and you're leaking. So what needs to happen is you need to empty everything and then fix those holes and then start slowly filling it back up. And I was like, okay.
Wow.
Yeah, because I felt like a colander, you know, like when you're like, I felt like no matter how much energy and how much time and how much I devoted myself to being a mom, to being a provider, to taking care of myself, no matter how much I put in it, something always slipped through the cracks. Something always was not enough. It was never enough. That was my indicator that I needed to just drop everything and only pick up what was important.
That is so good. That just feels good talking about, you know, like, and I think it's important. Thanks for sharing that part because it's so vulnerable and feeling like you really get to that breaking point. I also, my moment was literally just laying on the bathroom floor for the 100th time going, I cannot anymore. I don't have any more tears left in me, but I'm still hyperventilating, crying. I can't do this anymore. Not like this anymore. And it was like this very like empowering, overwhelming moment where I was like, oh my gosh, I need to do this. I need to get up. I need to put my shoes on. I need to get out of the door and I needed to take my life back. Like it really was kind of this light bulb moment. It was nothing that I could have forced. I just needed to fall all the way down where I could tell myself finally, enough already. You're going to do something different, Heidi.
Mm. Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I felt all the emotions as you were sharing that. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a very powerful moment.
Yeah, yours is too. This is so beautiful. Okay, so you go through this process, you finding a support system, you're permissioning yourself to do all the things and add things in, and then what? What else?
Let me tell you a little thing that even though I was doing all this work, even though I was growing and learning about myself, and I felt the most confident I ever felt in my life. Granted, I was like overweight, but I, because of all the inner work, I felt and I walked like I owned the world.
Yes.
That was, it's amazing because now I do CrossFit and I'm super fit and I'm like, how was I so confident? But anyway, yes. Back to that, like just because I was doing that work, note to you guys, it didn't diminish the hardness of being divorced and being a mom and being a dad and being a provider. It was still to the day one of the hardest times of my life.
Mm.
But the difference is that it was hard, but I was happy. We think that happiness is as being all daisies and roses and rainbows and unicorns, right? But define what happiness is to you, really, truly happiness. Usually that's when you are being true to yourself.
Mm.
When you're living what you say you're going to do and doing it, even when life is hard.
Yes.
That is true happiness. I was happy even though I was still depressed. I was still having panic attacks, but if I think about what happiness means is that because I was living out to the fullest of my potential during that time. So I was happy living in this really difficult time. And I remember a very dear close friend of mine who she would do Reiki on me every week to keep me alive because I needed the energy.
That's maybe why you had all that confidence, right? I truly believe in holding and hosting. Our bodies are such a mechanism for our soul to hold and host the energy within us. And when we can go in and create and move and shift that energy into a space and a place where we can exude the kind of energy that makes us feel like we are whole. That to me is why you were so confident no matter what size your body was. It was just like, I have this energy in me that is unlike anything I may have felt in a while. And this is how I show up with that energy, you know?
It was life-saving. Being able to have that support, that for me was what kept me going. One day she saw me with my ex-husband together and she's like, what are you guys doing divorced? Like, what are you guys doing separated? The love you guys have is the love everyone wants. If you were to just put aside everything you grew up with, all your limiting beliefs, if you were to just really think about yourselves, you guys could have the relationship of the best relationship. The love that you're looking for, it's right there between you two. And I was like, what? Whoa. I've been divorced for 3 years. I've been dating. Like, what are you talking about? But I was like, okay, I trust her. I welcome the idea. And I was like, okay, maybe. Let's think about it. And we started talking more. We started dating. He would come and visit more often. I would come to where he was and visit him. And we realized that we were different, that we had shifted, that now we were okay alone and that together we made each other happier.
Wow. Like,
I noticed that I didn't need his validation. I didn't need to prove to him anything and vice versa. So we were just there to love each other.
Mm.
So it was like, oh, maybe we can give it a try. Okay. And it evolved over a few months and I did not tell anybody. Okay. I'm really close with all my siblings and my mom. I did not tell a single soul. Why? Because I didn't want other people's opinion to affect my decision, because my relationship and your relationship, if you're considering making a decision to leave or stay or whatever it is that has to do with your relationship, check within. What do I really want to do? What feels good to me? We tend to go to an outside source, our friends, our siblings, to get validation, to give us permission to believe in what we want to believe. I didn't want that. And I allowed myself to just check with myself. This feels right. Yes. Yeah. Yep. I'm going to do it. And it wasn't like until maybe like 2 weeks before I was going to move out of the state back with my ex that I told everyone, and everybody had an opinion.
Oh,
by
yeah.
that time, my decision was cemented and it did not matter what they had to say.
That's so powerful.
Okay, it's time for a 10-second break to tell you about something great. Did you know that there's a community of divorced women who meet up virtually on a weekly basis and heal through divorce together? That's right. Our 12-week comeback community and group coaching experience provides the roadmap, the resources, and the relationships needed to navigate your new normal, create your comeback, and thrive after divorce. Take it from me, when you've got a plan and a partner in place, you'll be moving forward faster in no time. Visit divorcecomebackcoach.com and book your free clarity call with me, Heidi B, today and see if it's a fit. All right, let's get back to the show.
First of all, I want to extract one of the most important things I think you said, which you said so many golden nuggets in there, but one of them was, we realized we were both okay alone. It's like you're both whole. No one completes anybody. It's like what I call the frosting on the cupcake. A really good cupcake is really good and moist and yummy and cakey. But when you put frosting over the top, ooh, it adds this layer of just deliciousness and just enjoyment and pleasure, you know, when it's packed on. So I just think it's so beautiful that you both realized, wow, I don't need you to do or be anything for me. I've got that. And look what happens when we just love and care for one another. Like, that's our focus. That's our goal, not to change, not to create someone that's not. And I mean, I just think it's such a beautiful story because going all the way back to you were tossed into this situation at 19. Yeah. I mean, I often say that a big part of my downfall with my ex-husband was our immaturities. It was our immaturities and our insecurities because we met in college. We met during this party fun, happy-go-lucky time in life. There weren't really any big responsibilities like you have as you kind of go through a little bit more adulting. And then you layer those things on and there becomes stress and there becomes overwhelm and there becomes this sense of self and growth. And then you're shifting and changing, but you're not communicating about it. If you're kind of like the average American, you know, through your 20s and into your 30s. And then you wake up, I woke up one day, he woke up one day, we woke up one day in our 30s and was just went like, I don't know who you are anymore. I don't know. I don't even know that I know who I am. I just know who we are. And that's a really confusing place to be. So this bringing together again, after you took, first of all, took time off, whether you get divorced or you separate, or you just take time, really, really take time off to work on yourself and find yourself and then see if adding that person back in is even an option for you, aligning with your values and your all the things. It's like, it gets to be such an exciting process rather than this like daunting, am I going to stay with this person? Should I, because I have a kid and my faith and all these things and what's everybody else going to think? It's like, that's exhausting. That's draining. It's no wonder that you felt debilitated. Like that's so much to take on as a human. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think that that's what a beautiful, beautiful story because it can happen. You can come back together.
Yes.
Afterwards. But I think one of the things you and I briefly touched on before we started recording was I want our listeners to not feel like their focus should be getting back together with their ex.
No. My focus was never that. I was like, you said no, bye. That's it. I did the first few months, obviously, I questioned my beliefs, like my decision. That's the back and forth, right? Of like, ooh, was this the right thing to do? Oh no. But once I made the decision and I committed myself to believing that this was the right thing, I closed that door. But what helped me was remembering like that. And I totally forgot where I was going with that.
That's okay. Yeah. I mean,
but
the reality is like
what we're talking about. Sorry.
Yeah. Just not making getting back together with your ex the focus that you really committed to was finding yourself, remembering who you are, really reclaiming the things that were important to you, and finally putting yourself first after all these years, putting yourself first. And so I think when that becomes the hub of it, when you focus inward on you instead of outward on potentially reclaiming another person, just reclaiming yourself. Then when you do that, I know for me, then I felt like I'm okay with whatever happens. I'm okay if I attract another person. I'm okay if I don't. I'm okay if I get a different job. I'm okay if I don't. And it wasn't just in my relationship with other partners. It was in my relationship to everything else in my life of like, can I be okay when things change? Period.
Yeah, I remember what I was going to say. It's in the letting go and accepting. I had to learn to let him go in a loving way. That's key. I had to learn to let go of that idea of our marriage, of a perfect family, and accept what is. And that's life. That's everything.
Yes.
When we are frustrated, when we are feeling resentful, when we are suffering, It's because we are not accepting the reality, the blueprint in our head of what your spouse should be, what your family should look like, what the relationship should look like, what your business should look like, does not match the current reality. And what do? We try to jam that puzzle piece inside that. No, it has to fit. No, but it looks like it fit. Why isn't it fitting? And we're trying to jam it. I'm sure you all have done this. If you've done a puzzle, you're like, it looks like it fits there. Why isn't it fitting? And then if you slow down and you realize, wait, oh, it doesn't go there. I need to go look for another piece that fits in there. So It's in the letting go and accepting what is that we stop suffering and we welcome new perspectives, new opportunities. And that's with every single thing. In this case, it was with my spouse and allowing myself to see, oh, okay, I guess this is where we're going.
Yes, that's just beautiful surrender practices too, right? Just so many beautiful practices in surrender. I think it's important to touch on when you did really focus on healing yourself and you found so many different ways to do that and transform. What were some of the surprising potentials that you found? Other than, I mean, reconnecting with your spouse is huge, but what else? What else is the surprising potential of divorce?
Oh my gosh, I was able to finally do inner child healing. Ooh. Every time, if you think about this, the world is full of wounded people. We are all walking around with open wounds that were created when we were children. And no wonder we're afraid to love. We're afraid to do things because every time we're triggered, or every time you say you're pushing my buttons, people are putting their finger on a wound. Mm-hmm. And what do? Instead of addressing the wound and healing that, we try to control the person and tell them, stop it. Don't do that. Don't ever do that again. Right.
Yeah.
And or we leave the relationship or we block them out of our lives or whatever it is, instead of looking inward and listening to the inner child that's tugging at your shirt, saying, I need you to help me resolve what I couldn't resolve when I was young.
Yes.
Our inner child goes through big emotions, big things that happen. And because we as children don't have the capacity, mental or emotional, to fix those problems. And most of the times we don't have parents that even know how to do that. We create a defense mechanism, hence your trauma response, flight, freeze, or fight. And we create that just to keep ourselves safe and in hopes that when we adult, your adult version of yourself is going to address it and fix it with a developed sense of self and a developed brain and the maturity. But we don't do that. So what happens is, as adults, we compound trauma and pain on top of pain and on top of that. And we walk around stressed, tensed, and depressed and anxious because of all this compounded effects. And part of why I do breath work is to do that, to release all those, to release that pain, to let go of those wounds without even talking about it. But for me, what helped me was that finally doing the inner child healing. It was really seeing the beliefs that work for me and no longer work for me. We walk around borrowing beliefs. If you've been married for a long time, I guarantee you have 50% of your thoughts are borrowed from your spouse.
Oh, yeah.
And if you took a chance to look at him, you probably don't even believe them. You just choose to believe it to keep the waters calm, to not rock the boat.
Yes.
And by doing so, you lose yourself. You lose your identity. You are not being true to yourself. So for me, healing, it brought me the inner child healing. It open the way to what I am doing today. Mm-hmm. I mean, If I go a little bit more into depth with the relationship, we were together for 4 years. We did not get married because we did not trust each other to
do it.
So imagine, I was like, I don't know how people do this after getting divorced, trusting another person. I know this guy and I still don't want to marry him and commit.
So I love that you brought this up because I literally wrote down as one of my questions for you. How do you trust yourself and your partner again when re-entering into a relationship after separation or divorce? Like, how does this work? Because so many women have a hard enough time trusting themselves and anyone else after divorce, but then re-entering with a partner that you've already gone through that with, like, how did you navigate that?
Yes. So it was a learning. It took for 4 years. We were both like, ooh, I don't know if I want to commit. I don't know if this is, what if you do it again? What if you leave me? That was his fear. What if you leave me again? Because I left him and I took the kids and I was like, bye-bye. Sorry. This is what I need to do. My job is over there. I have to leave. So for him, it was the abandonment. So it was a different thing than for me. For me, it was like, what if you are not willing to do what I need from you and step up like you have been now? It was that fear. So yes, the fears and the it's there. But what really changed for me, because after those 4 years, I was like, okay, something needs to change. So we need to either commit or we're done. And that's when I found life coaching. When I realized, I heard a podcast that talks about the model, which is a concept taught by the Life Coaching School, which breaks down your life into five things. The circumstances, which you have no control over most of the times. I mean, you can change your job, you can leave a relationship, and it changes your circumstance. But most of the times, we don't have control over that. But then you have your thoughts about the circumstance, your beliefs, borrowed or not borrowed, right?
Yeah.
And then those beliefs create a sensation, trigger, send a signal to your body. Usually it triggers your flight, fight, or freeze defense mechanism. And then you have an emotion, you have a vibration, energy is produced in your body that makes you feel a certain way. And when you feel a certain way, you act, you react, and those actions create your results. And I was like, wait a minute. So if I can control my husband, my circumstance, but I can control my thoughts, feelings, actions, and results, does that mean that I can be happy in the relationship, whether he does what I do, tell him to do or not? Wait a minute. How come nobody has told me this?
Yes. I actually went to a school that practiced, got my certification from a school who practices a version of that same model. And it changed my life. It changes Amazing. Everyone's life I worked with. It is, I don't know how this is not taught in grade school. It literally shifts relationships from from the inside out, and you can do it in any situation. Like, I'm freaking out because I love that you found this and it changed that for you and it changed that trust for you. And it's why you do you learned it and you're like, oh my gosh, you implement it and then you embody it. And you're like, everyone needs to know about this.
Yes.
How can I tell everyone about this and hopefully help them transform and save their relationships.
Mm-hmm. Within a month, I was like, our relationship like improved dramatically. And we got married New Year's Eve right at midnight. And we both chose to be like, we were both bawling and it was just the two of us. The fireworks from the strip were like in the background and it was just the two of us. We didn't want the kids. It was just us choosing each other for the first time, not being forced, but because we really wanted to commit. But it had to be because I had to do the inner work. I had to take responsibility for my emotions, for my part in the relationship, and I had to choose to commit. It all starts with us, because when we create a fertile ground for growth, compassion, and love within us, guess what? That energy radiates and produces organic change in everyone around our bubble. And that is exactly what happened. My husband decided, was like, yeah, let's do it. Like all of a sudden, all the things that I wanted him to do for 17 years, he was just all of a sudden saying them all by himself. And I was like, wait, what just happened? What? You want to do that without me telling you? Oh, okay, sure, I'll go along with it. He's like, it's time we should get married. I was like, wait, I never said anything, but okay, yes, let's do it. And there's proof. There's actually a research called the Pygmalion effect. You can look it up. It is people that did a research on students, on little kids, where they told the teachers, hey, this group of kids are going to be like the little Einsteins. And so the teacher started treating that group of kids a different way, like they were smarter. A year later, that group of kids actually performed better than everyone else. But in reality, they had done no testing. They just randomly picked those kids. What changed? It was the perspective of that teacher. So yes. If you don't believe me, it works. Look up the Pygmalion effect. And there's evidence, actual evidence that it works.
Yes.
Other than my own experience and my yes. clients.
I love that. I literally got chills when you said we chose each other for the first time. Just so how beautiful is that to just commit to choosing each other for the first time? And I also think that starts with choosing yourself for the first time. And
100%.
Yeah. When you, for anybody who's listening, wherever you're at in your journey, just take time to finally choose yourself for the first time. It'll be the greatest gift and the greatest investment in time, energy, and possibly money that you will ever make. It's just, you are worth it. And I know we hear that so often, but we don't say it to ourselves often enough. Like, you are worth it to find yourself and choose yourself and be on the journey to yourself. It's so incredible when you do, and it changes everything. And I would not be who I am in this moment talking to you if I didn't get divorced. So that mm-hmm. part of divorce is such a huge potential in my life. I love to ask people, especially other coaches, what's one thing that our listeners can start doing today to create their comeback?
Oh my gosh. So I want you to ask yourself, like, what is one person? Like, think of this person that is frustrating you. I'm sure you have maybe 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right? That came to your mind right now. Think of that person, okay? And now I want you to make a list. So I want you to ask yourself or write down, if this person did whatever it is that you want them to do, or another way to phrase that is, I think my spouse should, or I think my kid should do, make a list of all the things you think they should do, all the things you would want them to do, and then how it would make you think and feel. Okay. Mm. So for example, a big one that I hear all the time, well, if my husband supported me in my dreams and business, I would be able to show up more for my clients. I would be able to show up more for my business. I would feel happier. I would have more time, right? If they did this, I would feel blank, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fill that up and make a list as long as you can. And then you may share it with your spouse, with your children. Actually, with your children, it's different. We do get to have expectations for our kids. With our loved ones, right? Friends, family members, right? If you, it's just, you can show it to them and say, look, this is the list of things I would like you to do for me. And this is how it would make me feel. If you look, just so you can show them, so they know, oh, if I do this, it makes her feel that, huh? Most of the times, they don't know. We carry around this list with us, and expect people to meet his expectations, and most people don't even know why they should do it.
Yeah.
So you can share it with people, but what I'm going to challenge you to do is to do those things for yourself.
Yes.
You want to feel supported. You want your spouse to support you. How are you going to support yourself? You want your children to respect you. How are you respecting yourself by keeping the promises that you say you're going to do every single day?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do that. And I promise you, you'll create a space in the relationship and you'll become emotionally mature. Because that's what it is. When you mature is taking ownership for your part. So you're going to be more independent. You're going to feel more assertive because you're going to be taking care of your needs instead of depending and trying to control others for that to happen. Mm. You generate that. Again, going back to the model, your thoughts are the only thing that generate your emotions. Nobody can go inside your body and push a button and generate something for you. I tell my daughter all the time, she's like, you're making me feel guilty. And I'm like, don't you dare say those words. I am a life coach and you should know better. I don't make you anything. You can say, I feel this way when you do that, because then you're saying how you're feeling when something happens around you, validating that. But like, nobody makes you feel anything. That's impossible.
Yes.
So that's one thing that you can start doing now. Make a list. And then provide that for yourself. Have your own back instead of expecting others to do it for you.
I love that. That ownership piece and have your own back is huge. It's huge and it's super empowering. So if you don't believe us, try it and then see how you do feel when you start honoring the promises that you make to yourself and showing up for yourself. Because I can guarantee, I will put a guarantee stamp on it, you will feel different. You will feel empowered.
Yes.
It's just how it works. I know that so many people are going to be so in love with you that they're going to want to flock in your direction, start following you. How can people find you? How can they get more of you in their life?
Yes, you can follow me where I'm most active on Instagram at Elisa, E-L-I-S-A, underscore Fucci, F-U-C-C-I, like Gucci, underscore coaching, or just type in Elisa Fucci Coaching, all come up. I'm really active there. I post my monthly breathwork sessions that I do virtual. If you click on the link, you can access my free guided meditation that allows you to go from feeling overwhelmed and fogged to having mental clarity and tapping to your inner source within minutes. So you can access that in my link. You can book a consultation with me to see if I can be part of your support group to help you save your marriage within the next 3 months, because that's how long my course is. I guarantee that I'll help you save your relationship. So yeah, that's the best way to access me.
I love it. I love all that you're doing in this space and beyond. You are just such a light. And I just met you today and I'm like, wow, how have I never met this amazing woman? So I have two quick closing questions I ask all of my guests. And the first question is, what is one thing that you love about you?
Ooh, that I am resilient. Okay, this might not be a good comparison, but it's the only thing that comes up. It's like, I feel like I'm a cockroach, you know, like the ones they have been here since the dinosaurs, right? Like no matter what, they always come back. No matter what you do, they come back. They're so impossible to kill, right?
Yes, yes. That resilience
That's
is huge.
How resilient I am. And I love that about myself, that no matter how low I get, the next day is always going to be better. I'm always going to find a way.
Yes. You know that you've got you, and that is so huge. That is so good. Yes. And then the last question is, what does joy feel like in your body?
Oh, joy. Oh my gosh. I had to kind of close my eyes and tap in to feel it. And I feel it in my heart. Mm. And I feel it when I light up. And I light up when I am helping others, when I'm in front of a camera, when I'm in front of a microphone, when I am sharing my experience and giving hope to the hopeless, giving opening a little window for someone that feel that's stuck in a dark room, because I've been there. I've been on the floor like you have, crying, desperate, and not seeing the end. And it is so important to find, to hear, find those people that have gone through it, that reach out their hand and say, here, I've been there. I can help you. I have a ladder that you can come up to get out of the hole. That is when I light up. That is joy for me.
That is so such a good description. Thank you for that. And thank you for being here today and for your energy and your expertise. We just appreciate you so much.
Thank you for having me. And thank you guys for listening.
And to everybody listening, remember, you are safe. You are loved. You are enough. Go out into the world, shine your light bright, and live a limitless life. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for tuning in. If you loved our chat or know someone who would, take a quick screenshot and share it now, or leave a 5-star review so this message can reach the masses. Let's continue connecting over on Instagram at Divorce Comeback Coach, or go to divorcecomebackcoach.com to start coordinating your comeback today. You can even schedule a free connection call to see if our comeback community and group coaching experience is for you. Tune in next week for another transformational topic. And remember, you are safe, you are loved, you are worthy, you are enough. Take care.